everybody, to another episode of We're Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppy Head Productions. I'm your host, Sean, co-host, co-owner, Danny. How are you, man?
I prefer Founding Father.
Founding Father. Gotcha. I'll remember for next week.
You can just call me Daddy for short.
False. Everybody has two daddies on the show, I guess.
Exactly. Like the TV show with that hot chick in the 80s or 90s. My two dads. My two podcast daddies. Oh, man. So, you know, I guess part of the, you know, podcast network is kind of like the whole craft brew thing that we support both of.
Yes.
In moderation.
In moderation.
Even the moderation of the moderation. So, friend of the show and a personal friend of this daddy, Cheryl Jones has started a new podcast.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It's kind of a, I guess, spinoff. I don't even know if they do spinoffs anymore, but or if anybody knows what a spinoff is, but back in my day when networks didn't just do remakes, they just took characters off of already existing shows and gave them their own show. That's how uncreative they were back then. Mm-hmm.
This character is really loved. How can we make more money? Let's just give
exactly.
Them
our own show. Like, what's it called? Happy Days had like 5 spinoffs from it alone. Including one that the short-lived series about the shark that Fonzie jumped.
Oh, boy. Jeez.
We just jumped the shark, Sean.
Yeah, we did.
It's over.
It's long time.
Yes. So, you know, because when she does her original podcast, Movies Made Me, you know, someone will come up with a movie that's influenced them, and she'll be like, oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
And they're like, you should. And she's like, well, it's on my list.
So the show is called On My List?
It's on my list, yes.
Nice.
There's a group of, like, four or five people, and they each pick, one of them picks a movie or multiple pick a movie that they haven't seen, and they watch it, and they pretty much talk about what they thought of it, if it was worth seeing.
Gotcha.
So there's 2 episodes so far. They've done Gone with the Wind and The Shining.
Oh, boy.
Nice. Yes.
Very, very, it's kind of funny because those are not like, those are big name movies. So it's kind of funny that like the whole group has not, nobody in the group has seen it.
Well, no, like for The Shining, only one person hadn't seen it.
Oh, got you.
And for Gone with the Wind, I think like 2 hadn't seen it out of the, I think there's 5, and I think 2 hadn't seen it. So it's just a thing of, it's like movies that are big names like that, where it's like, oh my God, you haven't seen it? So then, you know, they kind of talk about it from the point of view of already having seen it and from the point of view of seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, I got you.
So, they, spoiler alert, they hated Gone with the Wind and loved The Shining.
They hated Gone with the Wind, huh?
Yes.
I feel like that's not, I feel like that's a, like an un-American thing to say. At least at
I
one
don't know,
point
man.
It was.
Maybe at one point, but now, well, because they brought up about how, like, it, you know, it's a little hard to watch, you know, the movie celebrate the Confederacy.
Hmm. Gotcha.
Like the, it's kind of like the subreddit, The Empire Did Nothing Wrong.
Well, you know, everybody has their opinion about the Empire.
From a certain point of view, exactly.
That's funny. It's an interesting, sounds like an interesting show, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. One of the, I forget, I'm a horrible human being, and I only know, remember 2 of the people on the pod, well, 3 actually. One of them is, the name is, Andrew Lindy, and he has his own podcast network called the Binview Network, and he has a bunch of podcasts on there. When there's one where him and his co-host Emily Schmimily,
mm-hmm.
It's called the Super Mario Minute that they finished, where they watch a minute of the Super Mario Brothers movie and talk about it for an episode.
I thought we were good bullshitters, but damn.
I know, right? Well, I mean, the episodes aren't very long. It's not like they talk an hour and a half or whatever over a minute.
Oh, okay.
But, and then they have, he has another one called Nothing New.
Mm.
where they talk about how they redid Murder on the Orient Express. So they watch the original one and the new one and kind of contrast and compare.
Gotcha.
And then they have this guy named Brock, who's the current voice of the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
How many do you rate the movie?
Exactly. That you should do that. They haven't done it yet. I don't think he wants to be typecasted on a scale of 0 to oh yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. Is it oh yeah? It's like on a scale of oh yeah to oh yeah. So yeah. So check it out, man. Check out. There's like a bunch of other podcasts on the Binview Network. And Sheryl Jones podcast Movies Made Me, and it's on my list. See, community, we're helping. I'm helping.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, man.
Appreciate you.
So, I know we've, been, I guess, delving into the areas that we're not, that's not normal for our show, but, the sports ball talk.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I guess, the throw or the kick.
Or the throw catch.
Or the hit. Or the hit catch. Yes. So I just thought this was interesting just because of the ramifications in other areas. So Colin Kaepernick took out a trademark on his appearance, on his, you know, on his hair and his, I guess it's just overall appearance.
Mm.
And,
interesting.
Right. Well, when I saw this story, like the newscast, the person talking about it was kind of like, you know, making fun of him basically. And I thought about it and, you know, like back in the 90s when Biggie and Tupac died, or when anybody like kind of like that stature either gets famous or dies, just all the knockoff t-shirts, whether you're for or against them, pop up at like swap meets or Walmarts.
Yeah.
Or swap marts.
Swap marts.
Or wall meets. But dude, it's, I mean, that's a genius idea. Cause I mean, he's got that like fro, his profile is pretty, recognizable.
I'm just going to say that it's not him. I have a piece of broccoli. That's the silhouette. It's a piece of broccoli. It's not Kaepernick.
It's not Kaepernick?
No.
It's a veggie
tale. Sir, you can't sell this. This looks like Colin Kaepernick. No. You're wrong. It's a piece of broccoli.
It's a piece of broccoli. Exactly. I'm a big fan of veggie tales.
It's not my fault that people buying this can't tell the difference.
Exactly.
Gold.
You've come across the marketing idea, yes. Yeah, I was listening to another podcast.
Where's my profit?
Where's your exactly? Yes. Well, you've only had step one. You've come up with the idea. Now you got step two, question mark. Step three, profit.
Gotcha.
I don't know what the question mark is. It's a question mark. But I was listening to a podcast today, and they had Jack Black on. And he was talking about one of the Nike memes somebody made of his dad. And it was like, you know, always believe in something even when unintelligible mumbling. And then, and for the Nike swoosh, instead of just do it, it said Sharon.
Nice.
So yeah, so I'm sure he doesn't want people on. I'm sure he's probably just doing it to stop people that are against him from making "I Hate Kaepernick" shirts. But he's also probably smart enough to know that people who love him are going to make "I Love Kaepernick" shirts, and he probably wants the money from it either way, or at least to control it.
Pretty much,
man. So, Magic the Gathering has kind of been under a lot of fire lately, Sean, and Wizards of the Coast owners of them.
Oh, I didn't realize that they had issues going on.
Yeah, apparently, like the cards are from stuff I've read on like YouTube channels and comments on Reddit and stuff, but mostly from like this one guy that's like we talked about before, where he just like hates everything that isn't that if it doesn't have a penis, it shouldn't win in a fight, mm-hmm. and if it's not white, then it shouldn't be the best thing ever.
Jeez.
But so he's the one that can't say the word woman. He's the one that says whammon.
Whammon.
So I guess he had like so he had his regular network, and then he had one where he reviewed Magic the Gathering called Unsleeved Media. Mm-hmm. And I guess he got banned from that. He got banned from Wizards official play.
Oh, they said that they can't. He can't talk about.
Well, he can talk about it. He just can't like participate in tournaments and stuff.
Oh, gotcha.
He lost his player number.
Jeez.
So, but like on all this stuff, they talk about how the card stock is cheap and stuff. Some of the stuff that we already knew, like when they do the prepackaged content, it's mm-hmm. generally crap. There might be like one good card in there, but then you have to pay like for a bunch of filler crap.
Yep.
To get one decent reprint.
Yep.
So, they're doing a comic series, and I guess a lot of people are upset because it has Chandra Nellar on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like on the ground, and standing over her is another planeswalker, Tobolt, who's basically achieved meme status on how lame his outfit, his backstory, and his basically his powers are.
What's his name?
Tobolt.
Oh my god.
And so, like, I was kind of looking through, and, like, one of the comments is, like, I hope there isn't a domestic/gendered violence controversy that results from taking this out of context, like when Garruk and Liliana fought. And someone replied, there already is. So, basically, they're, like, talking about how badass Chandra is, how, like, all the stuff that she's done on her own.
Yeah.
But then he's, like, towering over her, and she looks like she's afraid of him. And then, like, wait, how can the weakest planeswalker be towering over the strong, basically one of the stronger, like the strongest five planeswalkers, you know, like the core five.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently those people don't read comics, because how many times is there a comic where the cover is one thing and then you like Superman is fighting, you know, Supergirl, and then on the inside it's like they're just having lunch at the Kent farm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, basically.
Like, because basically the artists just get like, all right. Sometimes they just get like, all right, so this comic is going to be about Tobolt and Chandra. And he's like, okay, can I get any other information? And it's like, no. Uh-huh. Or.
Okay, I got you. Here's the comic cover. Okay. Like, it's not even like. I thought it was a lot worse than whatever I pictured in my head, I thought it was going to be like. Ridiculous.
So. Well, people were making it seem like it was. It's not that bad, but...
It just looks like she got defeated and she's, like, crawling away. And he's just, like, in some kind of generic power position. Like, look at me. I'm the best. I've won. I can put my arms down and be defenseless because she can't do anything to me.
Right, and that's the problem is because she shouldn't be in that position, you know... Because he sucks and she doesn't. And maybe somebody just, you know, even the shittiest superhero has a fan, right?
Yes. Like, yes, they do. Like Moon Knight.
Moon Knight, yes. Exactly. People like Moon Knight for some reason. When they could just go like Batman. That's like...
I'm going to wear all white and fight crime at night.
Yes. Because that's practical, right?
Practically cancel the series.
Right. You know, liking Moon Knight over Batman is like telling somebody that they prefer to buy generic things because they just are better, as opposed to they're cheaper.
I like Dr. Thunder over Dr. Pepper.
Yes. Or like some of them that aren't even doctors.
Yeah.
Or one time, I went over to my brother-in-law's house, and he was trying to save money. So instead of buying Captain Morgan, he bought the generic, was just the Admiral.
The Admiral.
And I happened to have some Captain Morgan, and we did the blind taste test, and he's like, "No, you're right. It's worth the extra couple bucks."
It usually is. And in that case, so, you might as well spend the extra bucks and get Sailor Jerry.
Right. And I think Sailor Jerry and Capt are about the same.
Yeah, I think the prices vary very, very similar.
Right. So, but yeah, I think it's pretty funny that the controversy, I guess the good thing is, though, is people are at least talking about it. And I'm sure the people that are mad about it weren't going to buy it anyways, but now they have an excuse to not buy it.
True.
So I watched this movie. I guess it's considered a kid's movie. It's very Goonie-esque. Or that one snuff film that with the kids filming a movie and then they watch the train crash and the alien comes out of it.
Yeah.
Super 8?
Super 8.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
So it's kind of similar to those movies. It's called I Killed Giants.
Okay.
And it has a bunch of kids in it. But then, the two, I guess, main adults are Zoe Saldana, who plays... She plays Gamora in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Gotcha.
And she's been in a bunch of other movies. And then it basically stars this little girl, and then her sister is kind of taking care of her and her brother. And the sister is played by this actress named Imogen Poots,
mm-hmm.
who is super British. She's really cute, and she has a fun name to say. Her last name is Poots, P-O-O-T-S.
Poots.
So, basically, this girl, goes around and can see these giants. She's the only one that can see them, and she has to, figure out a way to fight them, and she kind of talks about it through the movie. Like, she's going around, has all these traps and stuff, and so it's kind of a slow movie. And you're kind of set up to this, wait, is this real or is she crazy?
Is this right? The real life?
Is this just tragedy? But yeah, it's a pretty good movie, man. It's not that long. And reading the reviews, a lot of the people just didn't like it because it wasn't fast-paced or it was slow, you know?
Yeah. It's fair. If it gets, I know some movies can be a real grind to get through.
But it wasn't a grind. It was actually pretty entertaining. It's just you have to buy into whether, you can't be one of those people where it's like, I already know how it's going to end. This movie sucks.
Fair enough.
Because those people aren't fun at parties anyways.
No, they're not.
And it was based on a graphic novel by the same name. And it was produced but not directed by Chris Columbus, who did the first two Harry Potter movies, and I can't think of the name of the movies. The kids were the kids of the gods.
Oh, shoot. It is Peter Jackson, isn't it?
Yeah, Peter Jackson. That is it. You're right. He directed those.
Gotcha. I was like, it's Peter Jackson. I was like, wait a minute. No, that's the director of Lord of the Rings. No, wait, it's got to be Peter Jackson, though, or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't Peter Jackson. You said it right the first time.
Yeah.
And the Lords of Tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, we got it all wrong. I'm sure there's somebody, when I listen to podcasts and it's like, oh my God, you're so wrong. Percy Jackson.
Percy. See, I knew it wasn't Peter. It was close.
Right. Oh, he did. And he also did the first two Home Alones, the good ones, and Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
And he most recently did Pixels, so we can, before he did, I think that was the last movie he directed was Pixels. Maybe that's why he stopped. He felt bad.
Yeah. What have I done? He agrees science went too far.
Oh, maybe not. I think he has four more movies coming out that he's directing, and one of them is a movie version of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh my gosh.
He should have just stopped with Pixels.
Maybe.
He's taken that everybody gets one too far, man. Now he's going to ask for two.
Yeah, he is.
But yeah, so as being the old man that I am, I got it through Netflix DVD because it's a new release.
Yeah, it is. I believe that you would do that.
I did.
Sounds like a real Danny move.
It's a super me move. So we've been kind of pushing this one back, talking about pretty much the main members of Bullet Clubs all came out with shirts, and when they posted them on Instagram, they all said that was going to be their last Bullet Club affiliated shirt.
Gotcha.
And during their videos the last couple weeks of being the Elite near the end, there's been like the first one they did after their All-In show, they took a couple, like a month off.
Mm-hmm.
They had one called TikTok. And then like the last couple minutes of it, you could just hear like a clock ticking.
Gotcha.
And like they pull out their phone because of course, you know, and there was a timer counting down because, you know, that's how phone timers work.
Yes.
And so basically the date was January 1st. And then kind of alluding to, like, there's one of them where Kenny Omega's on the phone talking and somebody slides something under the door and it's like, hey. And it was like a poem and it was like basically like, do you want to fight in the Royal Rumble? Just signed a H, who Hunter Hemsley from WWE. And then he's like, whatever. And he just kind of picks it up and then he goes to walk away and then he looks back and there's another one. And it was like, that's not big enough payday. How about a singles match with AJ? Who referencing AJ Styles, who actually was the leader of the Bullet Club that Kenny Omega took over for and kicked him out.
Yeah.
And so he's like, he's going to like throw that one away. And he's like, and he folded up. He's like, maybe I'll just put this in my back pocket. But basically all of their contracts are up with New Japan at the end of the year.
Okay, gotcha.
Either New Japan or Ring of Honor. I can't remember for sure, but I know their contracts are up. And so they're trying to figure out maybe they're going to join WWE or maybe they're going to do their own promotion because they sold out the arena at All In like 10,000 seats in like a half an hour.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be kind of interesting to see. So, but the videos are pretty good. Like all these different, like, because there was one from Cody Rhodes. He was like, went to the dressing room and sat down in his area and his like, there was a note on top of his suitcase that was open.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, I hope this still fits. H. And he's like, did who put this here? And they're like, I don't know. It was there when we got here. And so he opened it up and it was his suit from the character he wore that he used when he wrestled under the WWE before he left.
Oh, got you.
Which was like a Stardust because his dad was Goldust. And so he was Stardust.
Oh, nice. I did not realize that. Does he wear like a flashy outfit like that?
Like, it's kind of, yeah, because it's black and then it's got the gold stars on it and mm-hmm. it's like a onesie.
Yeah.
So, and then he kind of got away from that and stuff. And then I guess he just wasn't happy with how they're handling him. So that's why he asked to be let out of his contract.
Gotcha.
So, but everyone's like, no, they can't go to WWE. And they kind of have the same reaction that I guess the beer fanboys have, where it's like, if you're doing it for the money, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You should just be happy to be poor and on the independent circuit as opposed to, you know, make money and work for the big leagues and not get used in a way that we feel you should be used because you're selling out. Don't sell out to the man.
Don't sell out to the man.
But then this week, Roman Reigns came on and he relinquished the title belt that he had
mm-hmm.
and basically came out and like broke character.
Oh, boy.
And announced that he's had, like a form of cancer. I think it's like lymphoma or something. But he basically is going to have to stop wrestling. He's had it for 11 years in remission, and it's a comeback.
Oh boy, that sucks.
Right. So there's leukemia.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been battling leukemia. So there's a video. There's videos on YouTube of his saying goodbye, and then there's one video that's pretty emotional, actually, of all the people in the locker room, you know, giving him hugs, and even they were kind of emotional and shook up.
Mm-hmm.
And even to the point where Bullet Club member, and this is where I tied this in, is Bullet Club member Tama Tonga, who's been like kind of going after the Elite Bullet Club members, who are in the videos. And he even went after Roman Reigns, and they had a Twitter feud for a couple days.
Oh, wow.
Even he came out and said, look, man, he's like, you know, being in character and basically playing the game is one thing, but this is real, man. You know, you're in our thoughts.
Yeah.
So he even broke character of being this, like, super asshole and was like, dude, I don't want it to go out this way, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And even in YouTube, people are like, man, I hate Roman Reigns so much, but I hope Joe gets better from his leukemia.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, I hated the way WWE was like pushing Roman Reigns and using him, but you know, I didn't want this to happen. Yeah. I want him to lose the title, not, you know, get, not have leukemia.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yeah, it was kind of interesting. It was kind of cool to like how everybody kind of stepped up, even people that he's had official like beef with, both in the company and out of the company.
Yeah, no, definitely.
On to better things, man. It's that time of the year, Sean.
It's the spooky time of the year.
The spooky time of the year. We get fun themed events. Some are fun and some are just themed events.
That is true. Some weird Olympic events in Overwatch.
Yes. Well, I'm just talking about specifically the spooky ones, spooky-tacular ones. So, Sean, was the Destiny Halloween event fun?
It was pretty fun. It's kind of back up with the goofy mask and your quest that you have to do with while wearing your mask. So Destiny finally did something that the community has been asking for, and to make the Infinite Forest more relevant. If you haven't played, the Infinite Forest is in the Curse of Osiris expansion, and basically you go into this Vex time place where it just, and it's just like all the enemies are just randomly mixed up together and in different simulations that you have to fight that the Vex are trying to use to figure out how to beat you. So they're like throwing everything, all sorts of different monsters at you. Everybody felt like it wasn't used enough and that there was no like extra things for it. So like there's no public events for it. You can only do missions for it or strikes. So they thought it was kind of a waste. And with this Halloween event, you actually have to go in and you have to kill enemies. And then after you get up to the 100% mark for that round, you get teleported into like a little arena where you fight what they call a nightmare, which is just basically like a boss. And you just keep doing that and you have 15 minutes to get as far as you can in it. So a lot of people like it. There's a new auto rifle. I'm close to getting it, but it's supposed to be pretty good. But basically, overall, I think it was a pretty fun like mini event that's going on. I think if you get like a good team, I think you can get through quite a bit of rounds. Like there's like an achievement for hitting 7. I keep hitting 6 with a bunch of randoms. So I think if I just kind of get a team together, like, and we kind of talk about strategy, I think you could easily get past 7. Because I know people are like somehow getting up to like 15 or whatnot. It's pretty ridiculous.
Right. Your clans isn't stepping up with you, Sean? I thought you had a busy, active clan.
Oh, I've just been doing other stuff. I just go in it to do the bounties, so I only play. I was only running through the Halloween event just to get the bounties done for the week. I wasn't like trying to do too much. I need to focus. I think it's only, I think we have like 2 weeks left. I think it's a 3 week event, so I need to kind of get my shit together on the triumphs and get it before it goes away.
Well, yeah, because you can't do it, right?
Nope. It'll be gone. Gone.
And yeah, that's one thing that sucks about MMOs. I mean, if you don't do it, it goes away forever and ever.
Yes.
Or unless you're Square Enix, then you just put it up in the cash shop next year and charge like $5 for it.
Oh, I'm assuming that's what happened for you, buddy.
I'll get to that. Yes. Spoilers.
Spoilers. No, I mean it's not like a huge event or anything, and the masks are pretty funny. They did come out with two new emotes. They did one of them is that that Superman song, I forget, that from back from like the 2000s. You go like Superman that ho
and all yes.
that. I can't remember who sings it. And then they came out with like another one. I can't it's another song based one. And then they came out with a couple like things when you pull out your ghost and bring it shoots out like Halloween stuff. So that's something that they're kind of more exploring. And then last but not least, they do have a cat ghost that you can get. So they didn't do ghost again. So it's a cat that you can get.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's pretty cool. I haven't really tried to get it. I don't think it was like one of the main features you could get like for the week, so I kind of haven't really spent any money or anything to try to get it, so trying to save that dollar.
Exactly. You're not gonna give into their cash shop?
No.
They're gambling. No. I mean, as much as I'm going to talk about Final Fantasy 14 and Square Enix, at least if you pay for something, you actually get it. You're not paying for a chance to get it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Looking at you, Overwatch and Destiny.
It's always a chance. It's just cosmetic, though.
Yeah, so is this, but at least you're guaranteed to get it.
True.
So are there any, like, are the missions good at least? Like, are they Halloween themed? Are they spookified?
There's only two story missions to, like, unlock the Infinite Forest mode. So it's basically only Infinite Forest. You just kind of jump in. It's, like, it's all dark, and so it's harder to, like, navigate through. And then they have this knight that, like, this giant knight with, like, a giant cleaver that kind of will pop up here and there. And you can't kill him. So basically, like, you just have to dodge him as he kind of comes after you. And then at the end, you have to, like, jump. You have to, like, jump on it through this puzzle to, like, get your price, which is basically, like, this currency. And so you turn in the currency. Like, I'm almost up to 120, so I could purchase the auto rifle, but then that's how you purchase all the different masks. Like, there's an achievement for, like, collecting all nine masks and whatnot. So, it's not too crazy. As you kind of go through the rounds, it adds modifiers. So, and they're not modifiers to help you. So, like, you go in a round with blackout, so you can't see, and if they punch you, like, it does a lot of damage. And then there's, like, glass and grounded, so there's like a, and then it kind of, once you get like to 6, it starts double stacking the modifiers against you, so it's difficult, but I think if you're smart, you'll be all right. But yeah, no, it's really only all about the Infinite Forest at this point.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Yeah, so the Final Fantasy one, like, basically, like, they do the Halloween event every year, and they kind of do it basically the same way, where, like, there's this troop comes through to, you know, celebrate All Hallows Eve, and there's some sort of mischief going on, and you're asked to investigate the mischief. And there's, like, you know, they're running, like, they all kind of are separate stories, except there's, like, one character that's kind of in the background the whole time, you know? And you don't really encounter him, you just kind of sense he's there, and then by the time you turn around to see where he is, he disappears.
Yeah.
And so this year, there's like a they set up a maze in one of the, this mansion that they've used a couple times before. And they've done it different ways. Okay. That's one of the dungeons, Hawke Manor is what it's called.
Yeah.
So basically, like, you have to go through, you go in there, and then you have to do this quest where you have to, like, disguise yourself to try to get information from these, like, mummies. Mummies.
Okay.
And you have to, like, startle them, and then, like you have to kind of, you know, so then you have to figure out, and then you've kind of identified that there's a note somewhere that's hidden, that basically tells you where the person that is being hidden, what room they're in, and that they've been turned into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And so then you go back and you do that. You turn that quest in, and you get the next quest, which is to, you know, find the note, and then find out and rescue the person from being a pumpkin. And they give you a potion to throw at the pumpkin to get rid of to counteract that spell. And so you go and find it, and it's like, it's the lamest puzzle that you have to solve, because it's basically like, it tells you like, what floor it's on, it tells you this, but then, like, what room it's in is, like, based on, it'll give you two creatures in the game, and then you have to count the number of eyes, and that's the room it's in. So, like, some creatures have one eye, and some have two. And so if it's like a one eye and a two eyed creature, then it's in room 103.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. So then you go down there and you do that, and then you turn that in, and there's a little bit of story. Go back and talk to the people and say, hey, we solved everything, and then the quest, that's the end of the event.
Gotcha.
And you, or, and like you get a minion and something else. And then, you know, I was watching it, reading about it, and it was like, you can go back through and do these repeatable missions. And basically the repeatable mission is the same mission over and over and over again of going into the same rooms, startling the same monsters to get the same information. And then you go back and you get the Halloween event currency, which is a cookie.
Oh, can you buy stuff with cookies?
Yeah, you can buy, like, the other minion that you didn't get, or you can buy, like, gotcha, stuff for your house, and stuff like that. So, oh, man. But then, so, like, last year, the Halloween event, you had to dress up as a werewolf. So they gave you this, like, cheesy-looking werewolf costume. Where you can kind of tell it's you, but it's just basically like a tail and ears and like sleeves and legs, yeah, you know?
So everybody running around looks the same.
Yes. So like if you didn't do it last year, then you can buy it on the cash shop. They always do that. Like whatever last year's event, whatever the new event is, they always put up the previous year's rewards, exclusive rewards on the cash shop.
Gotcha.
So, I guess they don't want, because Square Enix doesn't want people to feel left out, because it's not fair.
Nope. As long as you pay them, it can be fair again.
Right. So, and everything from the event is like $5. So, it's like the costume, or the house decorations, or the whatever. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, that's why I was like, they can put it in the cash shop. So, like, yeah, it'd be like, if last year there was like an exclusive ghost, and you didn't get it, you can buy it through the whatever the shop for Destiny is.
Gotcha.
This year, but only actually, and it's up there forever. So like now, like, cause last year they had an event where they did a Power Rangers crossover.
Yeah.
And you got like the Power Ranger poses.
Okay. Nice.
Where they do their little, like they like movements, and then they end up in their pose, like for the still shot.
Yeah. I wonder if you have to pay for that, since they have to like probably get like copyright for it.
If you did the event, no, but if you want it now, yes.
Well, I just meant Square Enix, like, paying whoever owns that property.
I think it was, like, a crossover. I think they, like, teamed up.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It was a superpower team up.
Nice.
So, when this is released, so will the game Red Dead Redemption 2. Sean, have you pre-ordered it? Are you buying it?
I have not pre-ordered it, but I will probably be obtaining it.
So, according to the internet, you're a horrible person for even planning on buying it, Sean.
Probably. I'm probably a horrible person per the internet for a lot of things, but we could start with Red Dead Redemption. I'm okay with that.
Yes, we'll narrow it down this time. Because apparently, some members of the staff who are salary worked up to 100 hours without getting paid overtime.
So the bad life of salary life.
Exactly.
But that's pretty. But it is pretty. That does seem a little excessive, though.
Right. And from reading about it, basically the people that worked that many hours were like the people that owned the studio making the game, and so kind of not necessarily to defend them, but just to say like, hey, things have changed. Talking about like when Grand Theft Auto what's the newest one that's come out like 8 years ago? Are they still on 4 or was that 5?
They're past. Yeah, they were on 5.
Okay, so like when Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, like they were kind of forcing more people to work that many hours, like the last like couple weeks before the game came out, like crunch time, you know?
Yep, probably last minute patches. You know, I think when Rockstar throws out a game date, you know they're gonna hit it. I'm sure.
Regardless.
Like, yeah, they're probably, you know, trying to narrow down the bugs and whatnot, get ready for delivery.
Right. I mean, there's going to be, and especially a game as big as Red Dead Redemption 2 is going to be, you know, there's stuff people like already calling, showing up bugs and stuff and saying how horrible the game is.
Yeah.
But I hope you have space on your external hard drive, Sean.
I got some space left, but I might be getting a new one.
Because if you buy the physical disc, physical copy of Red Dead Redemption 2,
yep.
And it's, from what I heard, it's two discs.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
And it's going to be a 99 gigabyte download on your PlayStation 4.
Oh boy. What is the point?
If you
have games gone too far?
Right. Jesus. Well, if you do it digitally, it's another 50 gigabytes on top of the 99. So it's 149 gigabytes if you just do it digitally.
Oh boy, I feel bad. I feel bad for Browning because she only buys digital games.
Yeah, she's gonna have to delete everything, including her profile.
You imagine the download time on that? The PlayStation has like the worst download times. It takes fucking forever.
Well, is your PlayStation Wi-Fi'd or is it hardwired?
It's hardwired.
Oh, okay.
Maybe well, I just have shitty internet.
Maybe. But I mean, I was gonna say Brownies is like her middle of nowhere internet that takes, you know, 6 hours to download a 2 gigabyte update.
Yeah.
So she's gonna have to start downloading it. Well, I guess that because you could have already started the download this week.
Yes.
Like a couple, like it's been. They gave it like 4 or 5 days before the game came out. They let it like put it up for pre-charge.
Okay.
So gotcha. I'm sure if she started it like the moment that it was available, it might almost be done by the time the game comes out.
Oh, gotcha. Nice.
With her internet.
Very nice.
Yeah, because I think that'll take, well, I don't know, maybe not. At 99 gigs, that may take her like a month to do it, her internet down there.
I gotcha.
But yeah, so it was just pretty funny because, you know, both of us work, I mean, you work salary, but still, both of us work jobs where we have a certain time of the year where we're like, we're basically like going to work way more hours than normal.
Yeah.
There are different times of year, but still, we both have that. I mean, it's like peak. Every job has like a peak time.
Yeah.
And for if you're a video game developer, that is literally like the couple weeks before the game comes out.
Yep. Crunch time.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. It was pretty funny. Somebody was a guy was kind of going a little overboard on the sarcasm, making fun of all these people, like saying that you should cancel your pre-order. And it's like they knew what they were getting into when they signed up for salary jobs. It's not a secret.
True. And if the success of the game goes well, they're probably going to get some fat bonuses.
Right. And I'm sure that's probably why they're, you know, it's probably already written into their contract.
Yep. Definitely.
So, yeah. If you do buy the game, then you'll have to give us an update. If not, then I'll have to get it from other people. We'll have to get third-hand information.
I'll probably get it at some point. I don't know if I'm going to get it tomorrow.
No. You can just rent it from Redbox.
It's probably already, like, it's probably too far down the line. I won't be able to get it.
And yeah, true. Well, I don't know. It's Ohio. Nobody out there does anything cool.
True.
Unless drugs. Unless you're talking about drugs.
Good times.
So, you know, I forgot to tell you one of the things. I learned some information when we were at the Scottoberfest in Anaheim, where they had all the breweries there.
Yep.
We were talking to, me and my buddy, we were talking to somebody from Stone and from, why can't I think of the Long Beach brewery that's at Steelcraft?
I don't know.
I can't, I'm sure it'll come to me, but, Smog City. Yes. And so, but we were talking to the guy from Stone, and he was saying that this guy that used to be at Stone Brewery, Mitch Steele, the brewery that he founded up,
yep,
actually bought the restaurant. Oh, he's a former brewmaster at Stone.
Okay.
And then he's partnered up with, I don't know, maybe whether they've changed their ways or they're still the devil, like working with the devil, this is like, or making a deal with the devil, ex Anheuser-Busch executives.
Yeah.
They opened a new brewery called New Realm, and they ended up buying, for pennies on the dollar pretty much, the restaurant / brewery building that Green Flash built in Virginia Beach.
Oh, wow.
That the city of Virginia Beach paid for, or at least it was paid for by taxpayer money.
Jeez, man. That's how the world works. Terrible.
Yeah, so the people that own Green Flash got hooked up because they got a building built for them that they didn't pay for. But it was their building.
Yep.
And so then it was sold. They got the money from the sale.
Oh, really? Jeez.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, man. That's terrible.
So
they should go right back to that city, not them.
Right. Even though, according to the Green Flash founder, they took on considerable amount of debt. But I don't know. According to the random guy from Stone that I talked to. But anyways. So they're getting ready to open up soon. They should be opening soon.
Gotcha.
That fancy new restaurant with all brand new unused equipment.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I guess they're based in Atlanta, your favorite city.
I don't know if Atlanta is my favorite city.
Well, you love those accents so much.
Oh, man. Jeez,
speaking of things you love so much, Sean, you love making things. Tell us what have you made anything new?
I did. I finally put down Destiny for a little bit and went to Tit Meyer's and made some beer. I made a pumpkin ale this go around, Danny. I know.
Did you make pumpkin spice beer, Sean?
Pumpkin something. No, it has like a lot. It was almost kind of like a pumpkin pie in the sorts, except the only thing I didn't do is like add any like extra kind of sweetener or sugar to it. So it does have some of your traditional fall spices though, along with the pumpkin. So. Looking forward to seeing how that tastes.
Right. Last year, for their, I guess, autumn beer, Bottle Logic, they did one beer that was basically like a pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
And then and I think they did a year before too, but they did another one where it's like the spices from a pumpkin pie, but not the pumpkin itself.
Interesting.
So you had like the nutmeg and the cloves and stuff like that, and that was also a barrel aged stout. They're both barrel aged stouts.
Okay. Yeah, a Christmas ale has a lot of pumpkin pie ingredients in it without the pumpkin as well. There's nutmeg and different things in there.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. You get that spicy you want that spicy taste. You want it to taste like you're drinking a pine cone without the tree. Unless you make it an IPA, then you can be like you're actually drinking a Christmas tree.
Maybe. I do want to. I'll probably do a Christmas ale here pretty soon too, just for Christmas time. Get that flowing. But I also somebody posted a eggnog recipe from Alton Brown on the subreddit that I frequent for home brewing, and so I decided to make that. It has cognac in it, whiskey, and rum. And so it has a dozen eggs, well, egg yolk in it, plus heavy cream, half and half, and milk. And so basically you stir it up and you get it all mixed together separately and then finally together. And you're supposed to let it age for a while. And man, Danny, it's pretty fantastic, I have to tell you. Like, I couldn't believe how it was pretty well balanced, even without aging.
Yeah, how long are you supposed to age it for there, Sean?
It's going to age. It's supposed to age. They say you could age it all the way up to a year if you really wanted to, but I'm going to pull one out at Thanksgiving, and then I'll probably pull a couple more out at Christmas time. I put them in, like, pint size glasses, you know, those different glass, I'm trying to think what they're called. They're like those pickle jars. They're like those fancy jars that a lot of bars like to give you to drink. So you can get them at the grocery store. I forget what kind of glassware they are. They have that metal lid, though, that you screw on there.
Okay, yeah. Like if you went to like a redneck bar?
Yeah, exactly. I can't. Mason jars. Mason. There yes. you go. I don't know why it took me so long. But yeah, they're in mason jars. So I have like, I think like seven mason jars. So I can open them up at different times, just like the different meads that I have.
Right, because you're not quite fancy enough to do the have your own kegging your keg system where you can just like tap a nail in there and get a little bit to come out and then let the nail let the hole seal up when you pull the nail out for that little bit of a taste.
No, I didn't do anything crazy like that. No, sir. Unfortunately, not.
One day. Well, that's good. Yeah, you. I looked over that recipe. I've been busy too, doing other adult things, so I haven't had a chance to make it. But it actually sounded pretty good.
No, it's pretty fantastic. I couldn't believe like how smooth it was. It was already without letting it age.
Nice.
Yeah.
We know Sean's gonna be a milk drunk.
Milk drunk on Christmas.
Milk drunk on Christmas.
Exactly.
That sounds like the name of a pretty good a Christmas album.
Oh, I believe it. All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, November 3rd, Extra Life. I'll be playing and streaming. I'll post the links coming up next week. Make sure that you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, Facebook, and all those fantastic places. Make sure you rate us and give us some comments. Any comments at this point.
Yes. Tell us how much you hate me. Because you won't be the only one. But I want to know it for sure.
Exactly. All right, Danny. I'll see you next week.
Next week, everybody.